this tie, Mike. Sounds like you can. So what we're going to be doing is looking at this, I think, very important subject of God's chosen people. Who are God's chosen people? So we need to really have a bit of a history lesson to begin with. So God's people, about a million of them, were actually in the wilderness. About a million of them. And they spent time in Egypt, and they were brought out of Egypt. And they were in the wilderness for 40 years. And they were God's chosen people. Their descendants began with a man called Abraham. Abraham had a son called Isaac. Isaac had a son called Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. He had one daughter called Dinah. And those 12 sons, as the years, centuries rolled by, became a great nation. And they were called God's people. This is what God said about this group of people dwelling in the wilderness. About a million of them, or so. God says in his writings, "For you are a people holy to the Lord, your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." So what that verse is telling us is that above all the nations of the world, God chose this particular nation to be a special chosen people to him. Now what is interesting is that nowadays, history books tell us that throughout the centuries, there have been people who have looked upon themselves as being a chosen race. For a number of reasons. Possibly because of the color of their eyes, their complexion. Possibly because they have done some great act in history. The Egyptians, huge pyramids, some still standing today. Perhaps fought an incredible war above all odds, the Spartans, the Greeks, the Romans. All these empires wanting to portray that they are a chosen people because of some great act, their accomplishments that they have achieved. But not so with God and this group of people. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were the fewest of all peoples. You see, this is very different, isn't it? God chose these people not because there was anything special about them. That's important to bear in mind. He didn't choose them because they were more numerous, that they had done anything to achieve the fact that God would choose them. They didn't do anything because they had the strength to do it. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. In other words, God chose them in spite of their inadequacies. That's important to bear in mind too, please. God chose them in spite of their inadequacies. There's nothing special about them. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors. So actually, God said, look, centuries down the line, just over a million of you, I'm chosen you to be a special people, a chosen people, because you've done anything special. Oh no. You are to be a chosen people to me, a special people. Why? Because of the oath he swore to your ancestors. Who were the ancestors of the Jews? Abraham had a son called Isaac. Isaac had a son called Jacob. Jacob had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin, and one daughter, Dinah. And that group of people. Now, when it says, because God made an oath or a promise to your ancestors, the ancestors of the Jewish race, the ancestor, if you go wind the clock back of history, was Abraham, the father of that nation. Abraham and Isaac, Isaac and Esau and Jacob. So Abraham is the father of that race. So, what it says, but it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath or the promise he swore to your ancestors. Now, I don't know if you go to worship other places in the week or other times, if they're going through the Bible with you, if they're talking to you about what the Bible says, if they're showing you the verses and reading with you and helping you to understand and teaching you and encouraging you. I hope that if you go somewhere else, that they're talking to you about the promises, the oath that God made to Abraham. Because I tell you what, this is an absolute critical thing to understand as we go through God's word together. So we are now looking at the oath he swore to your ancestors. What is the oath? What are the promises that God made? And actually, what we'll find is those promises have so much of a bearing on you and me in the 21st century. So what are the oaths? So let's look back at Abraham, shall we? The promises to Abraham. This is what it's really all about. So, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing.'" Verse 3, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on the earth will be blessed through you." Now this section here is where we come in. "And all people on the earth will be blessed through you." So the promise or the oath, all this has so much bearing on us, we need to really understand it. What is the promises that God made to this man Abraham so many years ago? How does it impact your life and mine? Well, actually, you will see this is absolutely critical. It is a wonderful thing. Actually, this is one of the things that encouraged me to look at God's word and to become a Christadelphian and to understand this amazing thing. So, this is the oath in a nutshell. "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on the earth will be blessed through you." So if I was to say to you, how many promises did God make to Abraham? What would you say? Any takers? Oh, you're counting now, aren't you? That's okay. Well, actually, there's seven. Seven. So we want to break down those promises, and actually, as the chapters go by in Genesis, those promises are unfolded even further. So, let's break them down, shall we? The word blessings, anyone know what the word blessings mean? Any takers? Because I? Favor. I'm glad you heard this talk about 500 times. Right? Favor and protection. Lovely. God's favor and protection. So, God had promised Abraham, through these blessings, favor and protection. So important to keep in mind. So, this is color-coded. Now you wish you sat at the front now, don't you? Never mind. So here it is. So you can see these different promises between verses 2 and verse 4. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country and your people and your father's household to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, 3, and you will be a blessing, 4. I will bless those who bless you, 5. And whosoever curses you, I will curse, 6. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you, 7. So that collection of promises, it's termed the oath. So the reason why God chose his people to be a special people, a chosen people, was because of these promises, this oath, that God would show him favor and protection. But remember the point that we need to come back at when it says this, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. Now notice that. Verse 1 is a call for faith. The Lord had said to Abraham, go. So God demands that Abraham goes in faith. And then verse 4, there was an act of faith. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. So it's not just listening to God and believing. You have to show your belief by doing. That's so important. Abraham showed his faith in God by obeying God. So, a call for faith, and then we have an act of faith. It's as if that verse 1 and verse 4 is sandwiched in between those important promises. Now, did you notice also, it's as if verse 1 and verse 4 are almost like bookends, aren't they? They're like bookends, and that's, or maybe like a sandwich, if you like. That's the two slices of bread there and there. And sandwiched between those two slices of bread is the meat.
If you pardon the pun.
Is the meat of the substance as to what Abraham had to do. A call for faith. He understood the oaths or the promises. And it was an act of faith. It's as if those promises spurred him on to go in faith. So, there it is. Here are the promises. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on the earth will be blessed through you. So there was something that Abraham would do, that God would speak to Abraham about, that would cause, and something that would happen in the future, that would cause all nations of the earth to be blessed. So Abraham left Ur the Chaldees, travelled up to Haran, down into the land of Canaan. And I'll put this other map on there so you can see. He travelled approximately 1,500 miles because he went in faith. Chapter 12 of the promises. They come again in chapter 13. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So chapter 12, the promises. Chapter 13, he's told a bit more. Go into the land, I'm going to give you this land and your offspring, your descendants. So there it is, broken down. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. Forever. Is God hinting to Abraham that you're going to get this land forever? Well, the only way you're going to get something forever is if you live forever. So these promises that God given to Abraham, this is a remarkable thing because it shows that God had a plan and purpose in the future for Abraham. I will make your offspring, your descendants, like the dust of the earth. And it was fulfilled centuries later. I am giving it to you. So this land you're going to get forever. Chapter 12, chapter 30, chapter 15. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, to your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. So those seven promises are now unfolded, chapter 12, chapter 30, chapter 15, and God tells them bit by bit, bit by bit. But remember, what bearing are these promises? How did it impact on your life and on my life? Chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 15, chapter 17. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting, more language, everlasting, forever possession to you and your descendants after you. And now be their God. Chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 15, chapter 17. I will give an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 15, chapter 17, chapter 22. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. So this one man was promised that he would be made into a great nation. He would have this land forever. And through your offspring. Now this is very important. And through your offspring, seed, descendant, as in a person or individual, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. That's there in chapter 22. So that phrase about all nations of the earth being blessed was so important. God hadn't forgotten. Chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 15, chapter 17, chapter 22. Now what that verse is saying is that God is saying to Abraham that one day in the future there will come someone from your family line who will do something quite remarkable. He will do something that will cause all nations of the earth to be blessed. In other words, he's saying Jesus will be born in your family line. And through his death and through his resurrection, he will cause all families of the earth to be blessed by giving them the opportunity to have their sins forgiven. So that when they die, and if they've been baptized, when they die, and they are resurrected from the dead, they can also share in those promises that God had promised Abraham. Now this is quite special. Romans 4 verse 13 says, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world. Now Abraham's dead. Now some would say, well, Abraham was such a good man, he's gone to heaven. Not what the Bible says. Abraham is heir of the world. He will inherit the earth. Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we die, we don't go up there. We go to the dust. There's nothing. Jesus returns, there will be a resurrection from the dead, there will be a judgment, and if we're found worthy, we will be given a place on earth in God's kingdom. If there was anybody going to heaven, Abraham would be top of the list. I've got no doubt about that, but he's not. He's heir of the world. The promises to Abraham. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, descendants, family, and heirs according to the promise. What that is saying is, through baptism, we also can be a chosen people. Because we become adopted into the family of Abraham. When I die, my estate, not that as much of it, will be passed on to my children. And with Abraham, through baptism, we also are adopted into the family of Abraham to be part of that nation, to inherit the earth and live forever with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the faithful people of old. So when it says, through you, through your seed, shall all families of the earth be blessed, this is the blessing. That we have the opportunity to be adopted into the family of Abraham and actually get what he's promised. Living forever on earth in God's kingdom. Isn't that remarkable? Galatians. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. So that seed is in singular. That is the work, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That through his death and resurrection, we can be adopted into the family of Abraham. So Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are the children of Abraham. So with that faith, the act of faith, which is baptism, we are classed as the children of Abraham. And as a result of that, we become a chosen, special people. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, all families of the earth. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaim the gospel in advance to Abraham. We sometimes say, well, the gospel is the New Testament. No. The gospel was preached to Abraham. God spoke the gospel to Abraham, saying, all nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Isn't this remarkable? Romans chapter 4 describes Abraham as the father of the faithful. So, Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham and those faithful people, they're all died. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. So they're all dead, in the dust of the ground. But when Jesus returns, they will be resurrected from the dead. 2 Peter 1. He has given us his very great and precious promises. Look how Peter describes them. Why does he describe them as being very great and precious promises? So that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. These promises, that last one particularly, that through you will all families of the earth be blessed, is linked. It is inextricably linked with. He has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them. So if you go to a church, if they're talking to you about the Bible, if they're not talking to you about the promises, then you have to ask them some serious questions. So that through them you may participate, share in the divine nature. What is the divine nature? The divine nature is living without sin. Living a quality of life that the angels live. We're going to be like the angels. That's what Jesus says. You will be like the angels. So what is wonderful is that in the book of Genesis, it's there. The promises. Chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 15, chapter 17, chapter 22, chapter 25, chapter 28. It goes right the way through. If you're not looking at the promises, you need to get someone to look at the promises with you so that you will participate in the divine nature. So, very quickly, I've got about maybe 2 minutes to go. These are the promises mentioned to Abraham that were brought out in Isaac, that was given to Jacob. Let's just take one, the third one down. Chapter 12, verse 3. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Chapter 26, verse 4. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Chapter 28, verse 14. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So, it goes on. Chapter 12, 13, 15, 17, 22, 25, 26, 28. That is so important. It's important. Well, it is important because God is telling us that, isn't he? In Genesis. Quite remarkable. So, blessings, favor, and protection. God's chosen people, Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people. So, who are God's chosen people? Just the Jews? Oh, no. Those who are baptized, called, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive. These are the qualities that God wants. If you are chosen, act like God. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare. So, you've been chosen by God. You've got to talk about it. Declare it. Declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. He's called you and me out of darkness. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Just like God said to Abraham. You don't deserve to be called. You haven't done anything to earn anything. You haven't done any act of strength or anything amazing. And God has chosen you and me in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our inadequacies. Well, I've gone over by about 2 minutes, so my apologies for that. So, in a nutshell then, God's chosen people are not merely the Jews. More specifically, it is individuals who want to align themselves in walking in God's ways through baptism, that we also might inherit the promises. And as I said, if you haven't looked at the promises before, well, you haven't got a moment to lose. It is a remarkable thing. And actually, you'll see that God has chosen us in spite of our inadequacies. So much more to say, but I need to be polite. Thank you for your patience.